Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
Well, good evening. It's,
Hola.
It's September 25th.
You don't remind me.
Hey, it's September 25th.
I know.
I talked to Bill. He said to tell you guys hello. And he gets a few things.
Oh, Bill, hello.
Yeah, once he gets a few things taken care of, he'll be back.
Okay.
Give him a great big kiss for me.
And a hug.
The last time Rusty's wife Kale told me give Bill a big hug for me, she wrote back, no spooning.
Well, you can do the spooning, I'll allow that.
But so he's getting all geared up for his trip to Rocky Point, which is in Mexico. It's on the Sea of Cortez.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a 500-mile ride.
Send postcards.
Yep.
Pictures. No, there ain't no place to mail a postcard there. Trust me.
Okay, pictures.
Well, when you get back over the border, drop it in the fucking mailbox and mail it anyways.
Look, I might be going, I might not. I got some other things in the works where I have to be somewhere else.
Well, I had a fabulous weekend last weekend.
Yes, please tell.
Yes,
What?
Go ahead.
I went up north to Berkshire County in Massachusetts, and I attended Lobster Fest, and it was awesome. The food was off the hook. The people were off the hook. It wasn't like one of those ginormous events. You know, it was kind of low-key, real casual, real laid-back, wonderful day. And I had a few people that recognized me. And I was like, how do I know you? And they said the radio show. And it's a Facebook, and lo and behold, when I got back home, because curiosity just killed me, you know, you can't keep track of 600 people on your page. Yeah, sure enough, I had them on my page, and sure enough, they're listeners. So that was cool, meeting up with Massachusetts people from the South Shore area, that's the Boston side, you know, that listen to the show. So, you know.
Cool.
I was humbled by that, you know, especially when they were like, you're Stacey from the Phil and Bill show. And I was like, who are you? You know, but it was all good. Hospitality.
Oh, you fucked up there. You fucked up there. You're always supposed to say, well, thank you for listening to the show. Not, who are you?
And poor you. Who said poor you? I did thank them, you know. It was just really cool because I kind of got like sideswiped. I was a couple of the ironic part is I went up with a group of people. We didn't ride; we went in a car because it was a 3-hour drive up north. And I'm in line with the females and the male. There was one male, three females. The male that was with us was talking to a couple of guys, you know, that were behind him. And that's where these people were. That's the most ironic part. It's like it was like us, the male friend I had with us, my friend's fiance, and then them people, and he just got to talking to them, and they looked at me, and they're like, "You're Stacy," and I'm like, "Wow, yeah, how? Yeah, how do you know me?" You know, and yeah, it was cool though. It was all good, and they landed up sitting with us for the day. You know, the table we were at, they were with us, and it was really cool. They were former military. Yep, former military, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, what a good event. If anybody on the eastern border here ever wants to go to a cool event, Lobster Fest is the one to go to because, you know, it's just not like, you know, when you go to Providence and you do the blessing, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of bikes. This one's more laid back, you know, and it was good. I mean, I can't believe the amount of food that was made.
Right.
It was, and like, we got sent home with leftovers, so
wow.
You know, yeah we I really, really had a great time, and there was a couple of people up there that went out of their way for me because my dumb ass forgot my tickets at home when we were 40 minutes away. So I messaged a few people, and they were there to greet me at the door and made fun of me for the remainder of the day. So, you know, but what a good time. You know, if anybody ever gets the opportunity to you know, go to Lobster Fest, it's definitely an event to go to.
Don't they have one for me?
By the time we get to you, it'd be no good, filled with all kinds of bacteria.
No, I said, did you have one for me?
Oh, hell no. I ate one full lobster, and I ate the whole thing, and then I couldn't touch anything else. And, I mean, they had a salad bar that was just, like, off the hook. Every vegetable, fruit, side dish that you could think of, I mean, scalloped potatoes. The steak was one-inch sirloins,
wow.
You know, and the master smoker was man in that grill cooking them sirloins. The lobsters were like 2-pound lobsters and up. They were huge. And just the food, you know. I mean, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, side dishes. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And, you know, very, very cool. You know, the hospitality was just off the hook. And it was a good day. It really was. Besides the 6 hours of being in the car, 3 hours there, 3 hours back. But, you know, other than that, it was good. So
right. That
is that. But
you had a blast, that's all it counts.
Yeah, I did, you know, and monitoring my sugar and stuff, sometimes being on the road can be a little catchy.
For
whatever reason, you have a tendency to drop low when you're, like, I don't know, they say driving causes stress that you really don't know about, and it's true for anybody that has problems with their sugar. You know, once you've been on the road for longer than an hour, it seems to fluctuate up and down. So, you know,
right.
I thank the people that I was with. They got me there safely. They got me home safely, you know, and it's all about that at the end of the day, you know. We're all still
right.
In one piece, and we all had a good time, and, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Sorry.
Where did Phil disappear to? Did he fall asleep?
No, I'm here. I was
trying not to get around the noise. Sorry about that. I
need
to shuffle.
The big homie.
All I heard was homie.
Oh, no, I said I'm just listening.
Oh.
Reading.
Okay.
I'm
and,
reading something.
Oh. And that's why I said I had to hurry up and shuffle around the noise.
Yeah, just a lot of craziness going on. You know, I don't know if you guys saw that video where the guy pulls into the gas station. The cop pulls up, the dash cam's on. The guy, he tells him, guy's out of his car. Tells him, let me see your license registration. The guy sticks his head inside the car, and the guy shoots him.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. If I did that, it would
you
be,
know,
is that the guy that was,
it would be attempted murder.
Is that the guy that was in the seatbelt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was messed up. I seen like some of the posts today on Facebook, but I seen it on the news tonight, and I was like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'm like, are you serious? Yeah, you know, that has to be rectified right there. And I don't care if that dude broke the highest law in the country. The fact of the matter that he had his seatbelt on and was contained in the car and wasn't trying to drive away or anything else, and that guy just, like, opens fire on him and like, in a crowded gas station, no less, you know, let's have an explosion, you know?
Yeah.
That was just... Yeah,
now, what kind of training do you think he had for doing that?
I got two. This is the second one. Listen to this.
What was that?
Oh, there was the guy driving.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
I mean,
now he's going to roll up on this guy.
Okay.
Shot this guy three times and he's telling him to put his hands behind him.
I was going to say, I thought I heard four shots, you know,
because
I was cutting them off.
Three.
Wow. That's insane.
This fucking guy three times. Still treating him.
You know, here lately, we've got some type of uprise on fucking cops shooting too much at pedestrians, and they're getting away with it. Regardless, I don't care if a motherfucker's breaking into a store. I don't care if he's arguing with his girl. I don't care if he punched an old man in the face. The thing that I care about is these cops are getting real gun happy instead of doing their protocol that they're supposed to fucking do. And the problem that I see is that there's no reprimands. There's no, you're going to jail for 25 years. Because, goddamn, I'll tell you, I pull out a gun in a fucking gas station and shoot a person three fucking times. My ass is going to jail. I don't give a shit that they're a cop. These cops need to be held responsible. That's the big problem. That's, you know, the real issue at hand, is they're doing this stupid shit and they're getting away with it. Put a cop in a regular prison for 25 to life. Let's see what happens to him. I guarantee he comes out in a box before a year's up. But that should be his punishment, you know, an eye for an eye. Problem is that they pull him off the force, they suspend him with pay, they let the media die down, and then they put him back to work. Bullshit. You know, I've got a real big issue with that because from you'd hear about these stories every so often, but now they're becoming an all-the-time thing. You know, it's happening all over the place, and I have a problem with that. They want to take our rights away from us so we can't carry guns and protect ourselves, but they let these cops free roam and do what they see fit. You tell me when the last time a cop got 25 to life for shooting an innocent person, because remember, even in the process of they may be detaining somebody, it's still innocent until proven guilty. They haven't gone through the whole judicial process. They're being questioned. You tell me when the last cop was that got sank for 25 fucking years for shooting somebody. I can't recall. Yeah. There's a big problem. Big problem. And people need to get together and correct this problem because it's slowly becoming a real big problem. And you know, eventually they're going to try to unarm every single citizen, and they're going to be walking around shooting whoever they see fit, whoever they want to shoot, and there's going to be no repercussions whatsoever. And I think it's just bullshit. Like I said, I don't give a shit what the person was doing. I don't care. Because they are innocent until proven guilty. Until they walk through those goddamn courtroom doors and they either see a judge or meet with a jury of their peers, you don't know what the fuck's up. And that's the bottom line to it. And these cops are just, like, trigger happy. And it's all over the place. And 90% of the time, the person wasn't doing what they thought they were doing, or they thought it was an older person and it's a kid, or because they were doing something 20 minutes before makes it relevant to them getting shot. No, the whole system is completely fucking ass backwards. Okay, that's my rant for tonight.
Well, no, like I agree with you on that because you have to understand this. Okay, the last time if the cop is held accountable for what they've done, look at the length of years it's been, for one. For two, they're supposedly they have a great training skill to where they are not supposed to react, but to sit there and listen and get the information. If it's, say, a domestic, they got to be there and they get both sides of the story and they figure it out from there. Okay, but they're becoming to a point to where, like you stated, they're just shooting. Okay, so why are they still on the force? Why are they, if they get a slap on the wrist and they're back on the, you know, on the force again? What the hell is going on here?
And they do a lot of kiss-assing, too. Like, I watched today, you know, the kid that got shot, the sheriff, come on the TV, apologizing to the family for leaving the body out for 4 hours and yada, yada, yada. And he's due to be, I guess, reelected or something like that. You're apologizing for leaving a body on a sidewalk with an open investigation going on? I don't understand that either. It's right. Like, you know, common sense is if you're doing an investigation, you know, you can't move things from the crime scene. But I was like, yeah, that's because there's a lawsuit in process and right. He's not looking to be the bad guy and blah, 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 blah. You know, but it just kills me that they do this shit and they squawk out of whatever it is they want to. And once the dust settles, you forget all about them. But if it was like me, you guarantee that every time someone came across my picture, they'd be like, oh, there's that bitch that shot somebody. She's doing 25 to life.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. But now here's the other shoe to that butt. Okay. Real quick. Look at that guy in Pennsylvania. He's got all kinds of people looking for that guy to shoot a cop. So if you shoot a cop, you're going to draw attention like nobody's business. But if a cop shoots an innocent person, let's just use an innocent one for this analogy.
Question is when have you ever seen that happen? They always got some type of logic for
exactly.
why they... And that pisses me off, too.
Okay. I mean, let's look at... But this is what I'm saying. So if someone shoots a cop, they get the manhunt out like nobody's business. But if a cop shoots an innocent person, you don't hear, "I'm sorry," or "we made a mistake," or "we thought that toy gun was a real gun," you know what I mean? Or whatever the bullshit is. But, you know, or even if somebody did something wrong, why do they have to shoot first and then want to ask questions if the person is still alive? What is behind that concept there? You know, they're becoming, I can't even think of the word. They're becoming so brutal in nature of their job.
They're becoming militarized.
I was just going to say. I was just
either
that
or a terrorist. Sorry.
Now, it's apparent that the wave of the future is dramatically changing, and you know that's just a glimpse of what's further on down the road. You know, in my opinion, you know, it's just going to get worse because the economy isn't getting any better, your government isn't getting any better, the war on quote unquote terror isn't getting any better, and these things are just getting more easily dismissed. And
Keep that thought. Keep talking. I got an article. I'm going to go get it, but keep talking.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, these things are just becoming more and more easily dismissed. And, you know, eventually, what I think is you'll go into your city to go get your milk and bread or your bag of rock salt for the snow, whatever. And, you know, we're going to have military SWAT-style police. And, you know, a perfect example is a place I went to. Overkill, in my opinion, overkill of tax dollars a great deal. Besides the fact of having a helicopter in the air, having an armored car, 10 state troopers, and a SWAT Humvee, at a place I had gone to, I think was just utterly ridiculous. But that's something that, you know, our generation is going to start seeing more and more, but the next generation in line, that's going to become common sight.
Right.
You know, if the government don't clean up the bullshit and get shit situated, which they've proven in the last 20 years, Republican, Democrat, it don't make a difference, they're not doing their fucking job right. That's bottom line to it. And people are not voting these idiots out of office. And, you know, people can blame the president all they want. And I've had this argument before. Yeah, he may sign things secretly into effect that we don't find out till a day or two later, whatever. But you know what? The bulk of the shit that goes on in this country is Congress. And if people don't vote all those idiots out and put in a new set of people, we're going to keep having this reoccurring vicious cycle. And
exactly.
And another thing that I find that's happening is every time the voting process comes up, everybody wants a recount of the fucking ballots. And when people say that, I have a tendency to doubt automatically because it's like, where's the honor system? Where is the trust in voting? You know, this country was founded on being able to vote for whatever it is you want, whether it be independent, Republican, Democrat, et cetera. And all these recalls on votes, to me, makes mess in the pot. So I have a tendency of not believing either or. You know,
yeah.
as soon as start squawking that shit. But it's just going to boil down to your rights, your freedoms, your liberties are all going to be fucking squashed, and we're going to live in a socialist society, and people are not going to be able to share their views, because if they do, they're going to be put in the in prison camps. That's it.
Right.
They're going to shut you
well,
up.
Like I agree with you on that.
They're going to silence your fucking voice, and they're going to make you not able.
With all these cuts to federal aid and all that stuff, it's funny that they have $2 million for tactical and military style gear since the first of this year. Also they've by comparison. Now this is where I live. This is about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six fucking towns plus the city of San Diego. One of them is where I live. And the sheriff's department, which covers all of San Diego.
God.
That paid $1.9 million, the records show, and the sheriff's department has accounted for nearly half of the purchase. By comparison, the law enforcement agencies got military-style gear valued at $1.9 million. Under the Section 1033 of the Defense Act. That program gives away excess. Let me get you on the page here. This is in today's paper. It's by the guy who does the watchdog page. And surplus military equipment, local law enforcement agencies. It was via the 1033 program that San Diego Unified School District obtained a mine-resistant vehicle. What the fuck do they need a mine-resistant vehicle for? It was the same type used in Iraq War, most recently deployed under heavy criticism by police in Ferguson, Missouri, to confront protests over the shooting of an unarmed black teenager. Last week, the district decided to return the vehicle. Under the separate 1122 program, see, now, all these fucking programs... But they ain't got money. They ain't got a fucking dime to take care of our vets, huh? Including me, Cox. Under the rules of the separate 1122 program, local governments are able to purchase equipment at the price the federal government pays for it, generally less than the retail price. I requested a list of all equipment purchased by the San Diego County Law Enforcement under the 1122 program from 2008 to this year. During that time, Carlsbad, Chula Vista, Escondido, Oceanside, and La Mesa each purchased an armored vehicle dubbed the Bearcat. I don't know if you've ever seen that thing, but it's got a turret on it. You can mount good machine guns, all kinds of shit on that fucking thing. But it's manufactured by a Massachusetts company, Lenco. Prices vary depending on the range of accessories the agencies chose, which included ballistic shields, gun ports, a rotating cupola that is mounted atop the vehicle. Where they put the machine guns. The rigs were purchased with grants to the agencies from the Federal Department of Homeland Security. Officials in Carlsbad, Chula Vista, and La Mesa told Watchdog that each of these vehicles is intended to be a reasonable asset to be shared with neighboring police agencies. Who are you going to fucking share it with? Everybody's got one.
Oh, my God.
The department's... Bearcat armored vehicle purchased in 2011 has been used 9 times. It replaced an aging SWAT vehicle that was purchased from an armored car company. A year later, the Mesa used the Homeland Security grant to get its own Bearcat. They say they share it with El Cajon. The Sheriff's Department used more than $150,000 in grant money to purchase a robot and accessories. The unit is used on bomb calls and in SWAT support operations. The department also purchased 2 vehicles for more than $300,000. One is a bomb arson truck, command vehicle that carries equipment and tools for the defusing of explosives. The second is a mobile emergency operations truck that used as a field command post. You know, kind of like that picture I sent you, the one that gets parked out in front of my house from time to time?
Yeah.
The donut patrol.
The 1122 program started in 1994. Intended at first to allow state and local governments to purchase equipment for use in countering drug crimes and drug trafficking. See, there you go, the war on drugs. Now you know where your money's going. They're not fighting the war on drugs. They're fucking buying military equipment. In 2009, the law was passed and the category of material that could be purchased was broadened to include equipment for homeland security and emergency response. The savings from the discounted price that the federal government pays for the equipment varied with the all average, with the overall average savings of about 9%.
Oh, boy.
Now, check this out. A remote couple who were detained by narcotics officers in the medical marijuana raid, as officers stormed the property in a Bearcat, then later apologized, or the couple was later acquitted of criminal charges in a much publicized trial. They're headed back to court. They filed a lawsuit claiming a law enforcement officers used excessive force during the paramilitary style raid, as well as conducted an unreasonable search and seizure and exaggerated information to obtain a search warrant. The complaint filed September 12th in San Diego Federal Court names the sheriff, San Diego County, and each individual officer who participated in the raid. The two agencies, along with, let me turn the page. See, you guys think you live, it's nice and quiet where you live.
That's
it's
not quiet here.
Fuck you.
Maybe
with
in
you.
The town I'm in, but it's not quiet north of me.
I'm fucking with you.
I know.
Loosen up your panties, will you?
I don't have any on.
Oh!
Send me a picture.
Gotcha.
Oh!
Send me a picture. Administration participated in the county's narcotics task force. The lawsuit asked for damages decided by the jury. Now, here's the problem with this. They were growing medical marijuana under the state's legal guidelines. Deborah, who is 60, suffered from HIV for more than 20 years and is a cervical cancer survivor, while her husband deals with neuropathy and depression. Okay? They wrote an affidavit warrant that they spotted well over 100 growing marijuana plants on the property while doing surveillance from a helicopter.
My God.
The actual amount was heavily debated when officers in the narcotics task force raided the property. The officers seized 29 plants, 22 branches drying on the ground, and dozens of bags and jars containing buds. Investigators visited the building to take as 640 pounds of marijuana. It was closer to 116 pounds. During the 5 a.m. raid, where officers wearing military-style fatigues and armed with guns, some of which were assault rifles, they encountered Mr. Little in the backyard. He was put into handcuffs as his wife, who was also contacted outside, the lawsuit states, multiple questions without lawyers and without being read their Miranda rights. He sued also officers using excessive force, saying Deborah was placed in the back of an air-conditioned patrol car despite the cold temperatures outside and telling them she had pneumonia. He was also required to sit in a chair atop an anthill despite her request to move and was not allowed to use the bathroom. She accidentally relieved herself while seated outside and was not permitted to change her clothing until the officers left. The day after the raid, the officers destroyed the seized marijuana by dumping it in the landfill, the court records say. The district attorney later charged the couple with unlawful possession of marijuana for sale and unlawful cultivation of marijuana. The prosecution case was somewhat weakened when the judge found that the officers had violated the Little's rights due process rights. By destroying the evidence. A jury ultimately found the couple not guilty of possession charge and deadlocked on a cultivation count, which the judge then dismissed. The lawyer said the case illustrates the larger trend of military-style SWAT tactics used in routine policing. More and more, we are seeing law enforcement treat our citizens as enemy combatants, said in a statement. The Little situation provides a stark reminder that even harmless, law-abiding citizens, seriously ill people, are terrorized by their own police force. The couple have suffered from post-traumatic stress type symptoms following the ordeal, and they hope the lawsuit will prevent other legitimate medical marijuana users from the same experiences. They're fucking crazy out here.
I don't understand how they can even get away with that when they are legally in their right to do what they were doing.
Here's the problem, Nora. Even though the state follows the federal guidelines, each
right.
municipality is different.
Right. I get that, but it's still the point. That couple had
their legal right to do what they were doing. They were not doing anything out of the federal guidelines or whatever the hell you want to call it. Someone lies, zooms in on them, goes in like a frickin' hawk, and for what? To make them look good for about 5 minutes? Now they're going to end up having to pay for it because they wrongfully, you know, arrested two people?
Mm-hmm.
It's to scare everybody
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Think of it. Both of them were sick. So the odds of them fighting back were zero.
One to none, exactly.
Yeah. You know, and that was all just a big scare tactic. They proceeded to
they
try
thought
to...
They thought they found a Sinaloa drug cartel.
They're out of their fucking mind.
100
plants. You know what?
640 pounds of pot. In actuality, it was 116 pounds. And what do you think they did with it the next day? They destroyed it by putting it in a landfill. Really?
Yeah. They were smoking
No, they did not. Let me
or
tell
do you,
you
get
something.
Rid of what you've collected so nobody knows? Because you could say we buried 640 pounds when actually you buried 116 pounds, lying motherfuckers.
It's a full of shit. Exactly. Because
yeah.
Let me tell you something. I was informed here a long time ago by someone I know. When they go in, when there's a call, and say if it's a gang shooting, okay? They wait until it's all said and done. And then they go in and take for themselves the guns that they like. You feel me?
Yeah.
So those guys
they shoot you with
shit.
Exactly. Yeah, down the road they shoot you with. The cops in
and
Chicago were known when I lived there when I was a kid. And that was 40 years ago.
Let me tell you guys.
And they still do it today.
Let me tell you guys.
Next to me, the guys are dressed like they're freaking SWAT.
There was a cop on the Tiverton police force, and he's locked up right now, so I'm going to say his name. His name was Sodoma. That was his last name. When I was a teenager, all of us used to hang out on Stafford Pond. It was a little pond that was adjacent to the high school, and we'd sneak our beers and our cigarettes and smoke weed, and we weren't doing meth and coke and crank and all the shit they got today. We were listening
right.
to the music, making out, and smoking herb. And this particular cop, Sodoma, would fuck with every single kid that used to do a little bit of partying, you know, 24/7. Well, in my adult years, within the last 10 years, I got the glorification of seeing his name all over every front local newspaper because they gathered enough evidence over the past 20 years that every time he was involved with a drug raid, which he used to like to fuck with the kids all the time, he was skimming from the top, whether it be money, product, guns, et cetera. And
that's what they do.
Wait a minute. It took them like 20 years to build a case. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But yeah, he's doing a lot of time right now. But
right.
the fact of the matter is that, you know, they all do it, every single one of them. And I personally believe that he got popped because he pissed somebody off in the force. Because
right.
how does somebody get away with 20 years worth of doing that shit?
Hey,
you know,
in my town, They caught a guy who stole this guy's stuff out of his locker in the fucking station. Okay, he stole the guy's what's that fucking thing you download the songs to?
MP3
player or something.
Yeah, he took that and he took one of the guy's T-shirts and then 2 days later he started wearing the T-shirt.
Oh God.
Oh shit. Well, I got one better. Yeah, for you. There's one in my town, okay? There's a woman that is mentally not there, okay? And I'm being kind because I don't want to say what she has. So the one in my town hits on this female. Okay. Now, the three of us here are not stupid by any means. So, now, isn't there a law, quote me if I'm wrong, isn't there a law that prevents anyone who's there and I don't know what it's called. I can't think of words. But we'll just say pursued someone that is mentally not stable.
No. And I know this from all the years of doing the work that I've done. A mentally ill person, just like a regular person, has the right to have intimate relations. And you cannot intervene on that. You know,
okay.
if they give the okay, then it has to be, like, dealt with like a normal relationship or a normal one-night stand, even though the morals of it, you know,
are wrong.
Right. But, no, anybody who's mentally ill has the God-given right to engage in any form of sexual activity they want to. Now the person who's not mentally ill, they're the ones that need to be reevaluated.
Exactly.
You know?
And he's on a team here. You understand what I'm saying? So
what does that say
about that person?
Yeah, it says that he's a low-life scumbag is what it says. But, you know,
exactly.
As for anything that would, like, put him in jail or anything like that, no. There's nothing. I'm not saying that.
I just meant the mentality.
Hear me out. Even in nursing homes, even if a person has Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever, if they choose to have a relationship with another person in a nursing home and, you know, you as a nurse's aide walk in and you catch them in the act of doing something, you are to quietly close the door and walk in the other direction. And it's their God-given right to engage in relations. And, see, that's where I feel that there's a fine line there, you know, but I mean, what I'm telling you is the truth because
right.
I've worked from, you know, 90-year-olds to 5-year-olds. And,
right.
you know, with the exception of the 5-year-olds, because, you know, the state deems you
sure.
18 as an adult, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing.
Right.
And that's probably why the guy or whomever that you're speaking about does what he does, because he's going to get away with it. And the mentally ill person, you know, in their frame of mind is probably just looking for love and compassion and companionship like we all do.
Right.
You know, and they're being manipulated. And should it be dealt with? Yeah, of course. That's the way I feel. But can it be dealt with? No.
Yeah, but being manipulated by the badge is bad enough than being manipulated by some idiot off the road. You know what I mean?
Trust me, I so hear you on this on so many levels. I really do. But, you know, they're just, ever since they started closing down, like, state institutions and going more towards group homes and more like
right.
a family unit type deal, and they've given these people independence. And, you know,
right.
if you're able to come and go at leisure, even living in a group home, you're able to come and go at leisure. You know, your personal life is your personal life. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, run into trouble. So
let's look at it this way. The same particular person, I was sitting on the porch having a smoke. You know, when I came out, there were flashing lights, you know, on the other side of me. So he rose up in front of my house, though on the city street, you know, calls me over by his car. He goes, "What's going on here?" I said, "Well, how the hell would I know that? You're who you are. How would I know?" "Well, I thought you would know." "Well, why would I? It's not my business."
"You look guilty."
"No underwear on."
"No underwear on, that's why."
"You stopped traffic."
"They don't know that."
Well listen, I got a gripe, okay? Get this. I'm going to say a line that my daughter hates. Whenever I say, "Yo," I say, "Yo, dig this here." She's like, "Where am I digging?" She hates when I say it, but go dig this here because it's appropriate to what I'm about to say. Last year at my college, they had a vote, and they deemed it okay for our wonderful pig patrol that patrols the campus to carry firearms. Now, in a modern-day society with everything that goes, you know, on college campuses, okay, I can understand that. But you tell me this. It's okay for a campus pig to pull a gun out, fire a shot if need be, but it's not okay for a campus pig to give me a life-saving injection. Okay?
Oh, fuck that.
No, that's law. That is law.
That's
now, I don't
crazy.
Know. In a minute, I don't know if this law carries all 50 states, but in the state of Massachusetts and in the state of Rhode Island, nobody on no campus can give anybody any form of medication unless it's the nurse or the doctor or the campus. So if you get stung by a bee, or like me, you're hypoglycemic and need a shot of glucagon, which is glucosid sugar, you have to wait for the nurse or the doctor to arrive on the scene. And by waiting,
you could be dead.
That's right, because time is the cure-all.
Exactly.
When you somebody with an allergic reaction or somebody like me, the more time that goes by, the worse the situation gets. But
mm-hmm.
they can carry 38, 45, whatever it is they're carrying, and it's okay. And they can walk around now really thinking they're big badasses, because that's what has happened. They really think their shit don't stink. But if I should pass... If I should pass out, the only thing the cops can do is clear the area, make the phone call to the nurse, and the nurse comes from the nurse's station all the way down to where I'm at and fishes around for my syringe and then injects me. And by then, they tell me with me, I've got a 15-minute save zone, because after 15 minutes, you can slip into a coma. You can die.
Well, I know about
but
that.
You know, I think some laws here really need to be revamped. When you're given campus police the okay to shoot and kill, but they can't shoot a syringe into your arm and save you, there's a problem. There's a big problem.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I just got a major fucking hang up with that. I personally feel, you know, and the campus falls back on, well, they're not EMT certified. Well, motherfucker, they're a cop. They know CPR, they know first aid. Most of them have some form of military training nowadays. You're going to tell me that they can't inject an EpiPen in somebody that just got stung by a bee, or myself, it's got four picture instructions inside the syringe box, not even written. It shows you in four pictures of what exactly to do. What's the problem?
Well, let's look at it this way. If that ever happened to you, if I was me walking campus, see you going through what you're going through, because I know about hypoglycemia, I would go to jail because I would stick you.
Listen to me. I got told something, too. If any what they call laymans, which is those are the normal people that come and go on the campus,
right,
do stick me, they could be held in some serious trouble, because that creates what they call liability, the sue factor. Should you inject me wrongly and I die, my family has the grounds to come back and sue. Good family that ain't ghetto trash, okay? And this is the God honest truth. They aren't ghetto trash, and they know you have a life-altering problem. There is a possibility you could die. And a random person comes over and does an act of kindness by trying to save your life. You know, I can vouch for my family. My family ain't going to do no suing. If anything,
exactly.
They're going to thank the person for doing what they did and trying.
Exactly.
Well, you tell me why campus police can carry a gun and they can't carry the stuff that could kill any, you know, one of the campus people that has allergies or hypoglycemia or high blood sugar. You tell me. I think that's the most fucked up shit there is out there. And that really burns in my ass. Seriously.
Because like I said, if
I saw you, if I witnessed you going through that, you're damn straight I'd fucking do it. I wouldn't care if I went to jail or not.
Yeah, you'd have the school. If you were a student of the school, you'd have the school committee all over you. All over you, because they don't want...
That's on what? I'm not going to sit there and watch someone die right in front of me.
It's crazy, because I went to the number one clinic in the fucking country that handles diabetes and hypoglycemia. They're actually,
right,
like, on the number one list around the world, because there's no other clinic that does what they do. They
right
told me the way to survive is awareness, to make everybody around you aware of what the problem is, because a lot of times when your sugar's crashing, you become lethargic. You become
right
tired. You know, I could look like I just need a cat nap in the class. You know, shake my arm. Hey, are you
right
all right?
And some people pass out, you know.
Exactly. And they don't want anybody knowing. They don't want anybody being aware. It's just like personally, like let's say I had something like HIV, okay?
Right.
I would want my close family, my friends to know, hey, if for whatever reason I get injured and there's blood spilled, do not touch it.
Right.
You know, that would be what I would do. I can't vouch for everybody out there that's got some type of, you know, bloodborne disease or,
right,
or anything else. But I would want everybody around me to know, you know, if you touch my blood, there's a possibility something's going to go wrong.
Right.
The school campus, because of suing and liability, don't want nobody knowing shit. They don't want the layman's people acting upon a nurse and a doctor's behalf. But yet, my mother will tell you, she's a registered nurse, that when driving down the highway, if you see an accident, you're obligated to stop and try to help. And you're safe under, I forget what act it is, but you're
like
safe.
Like a Good Samaritan thing.
Right, should something
yeah
go wrong. So tell me, why doesn't that apply to anybody on the fucking campus? Because I've come to realize in the past month that a college is just as bad as the state, is just as bad as the feds. They're out for one fucking thing, your money. And that's it. And they don't want nothing to compromise the money factor coming in or the reputation of the fucking school. And it's
exactly
fuck you, you're sick. Yeah.
I agree.
I've been,
you know, because like it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. Like you stated, and it's a fact. You know, I witnessed a woman that got hit in front of my house. Now, I went to her. I said, I'm not touching you, but I called 911. I'm staying right here with you until I get here, you know. I mean, why can you do that, but no one on that fucking campus can do that? I'm sorry. You know, there's people with serious fucking issues that need immediate response.
Yep.
10 minutes down the fucking line.
Yep. Yep, yes, exactly. And, you know, I think it's such bullshit. Like another thing, I was watching the news tonight, okay? And our security was heightened because the terrorists have said that they're going to do something to our subways and blah, 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 blah. Well, the American public, you need to wake up and not believe that. Okay, you need to believe what your gut instinct tells you, because remember this, and this is something that sits in my fucking head. The Iran-Contra trials, am I saying that right?
Yep, I remember
when
that.
Old boy stood up in front of one of the congressmen there with the big fucking cheeks. I can never remember his name and the gray hair.
Oh, yeah, I know. He died, but he was the House Speaker.
McCain.
Yeah.
McCain, he's still alive.
Oh, McCain. Oh, okay.
When that man turned around and warned everybody about Osama bin Laden, and they laughed at him. They laughed.
Yep.
They were like, Osama who? Who the fuck is that? So for the United States government to turn around and say that, you know, we don't have this type of information and we got nothing to be worried about.
That's a poor shit.
It is bullshit. You know something? If there's something going on, they do fucking know about it. That's just like they knew what was going to happen to the fucking towers, and they let them
exactly.
fall, too.
And they didn't give a fuck, because you know why? Innocent people died. Oh, well, it's another fucking day. As long as that asshole was up in the fucking plane and the other one was at NORAD, everybody was safe.
It was called population control, and it was called, they had shit in every single one of them fucking buildings that they wanted destroyed. And that's what I firmly believe, and nobody is ever going to change my fucking view on that.
Well, Chicago is supposed to be a target as well.
There's no fucking way in hell that they didn't have any type of information with all these special ops. With the CIA, with the FBI, and everything else, and all this eavesdropping and spying and little bugs that fly with cameras. And you're not going to tell me that they didn't know it was fucking coming. So
I know what the hell's
going on. My view to the American public is keep your eyes and ears peeled. Because you know something? When it comes, the government's going to try to make heads or tails of it on the news to make it look like we didn't see it fucking coming. Bullshit.
Bullshit, because let me tell you
shit.
Something. My cousin was in that side of Pentagon that fucking got hit because his orders were to go and to get certain people because of his training. He got out, he went, and he did what he had to do and got back here. But they knew exactly what was coming. They knew.
This country is no longer built on the process of
Jefferson and anybody else that took place in history ago.
Guilty, your constitution, your flag, your freedom of religion, and I could go down a list of 30 fucking things. They don't exist anymore. That's the truth, right? They don't fucking exist. And the fact of the matter that this government can continuously shit on every veteran that's out there, whether they're retired, active, you know, whatever, they don't give them their benefits. They make them fight for their fucking benefits until they take their last dying fucking breath.
Yeah.
They make them go without meals while they're fighting a fucking war. They ration them to 2 meals a fucking day while your goddamn Congress is driving around in fucking limos, staying in 5-star hotels and eating 5-star fucking meals. There's a big problem happening here.
Yeah, and you know how many I see homeless fucking walking past my house every fucking Friday night because the church down the street, they feed the homeless. You know how many of them I see?
Yep.
You know how fucking sick that is?
No, and it makes me bullshit about that because I asked my daughter, I'm like, because I didn't understand some things, and I said to her, I'm like, If the military takes care of their vets, I said, why are there so many homeless? Why don't these people have houses or apartments or something to back them up? And she said, you know what they fall on? She said, 90% of the time, which I was shocked, when you join the military, you're not allowed to accumulate debt. And if you're entitled to some benefits, if you have an outstanding debt,
right,
they're going to take your money and pay your debt before they put a roof over your house, your head.
Exactly.
Now, that's
fucked up. That is fucked up. Now,
so when you look at all the homeless vets and you wonder, maybe they were overseas, maybe their wife ran up their credit card bills because they couldn't make ends meet, or maybe they needed to cash in on stuff because they wanted a roll of toilet paper that they weren't getting, or whatever. That is bullshit. What they should do is put a roof over these men and women's heads and then bring in a financial counselor that helps them organize all their bills, you know, and this is what you can afford. And as long as you pay like $20 a month or $100 a month or whatever, and a little bit goes to each thing, it's all good. You're going to keep them from not having their money or their benefits. And in these times, you think they're getting a fucking job? That burns in me, and it makes me love my vets even fucking more, because when they say that they've given all, they fucking have, because they come home and they get treated this
like
fucking
shit.
Way. It's wrong.
Yeah, it is, because let me tell you something. You both have been here, okay? The building that's right on the other side of my property, okay, there's a homeless vet. He didn't have a place to sleep. So he slept in front of one of the units, okay? Just, like, crashed out. I don't know if he was ill or what. So when the badge shows up, what do they say? It's just another fucking homeless person. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Do you realize that that person served in the military?
They can take federal money and facelift the projects, because they just did all the projects in Fall River. They facelift every single one of them, costing the taxpayers thousands of fucking dollars. You're going to tell me that you can't build something just to accommodate the vets, give them lower housing, help them with insurance, help them get the benefits they're entitled to? All these fucking projects have a little rec hall to hold the birthday parties from fucking hell. You can't put a vet center in the middle of a little housing complex so these men and women have a fucking roof over their head?
No,
you'd rather fucking give out the welfare. This subject right here, it really burns in me. It fucking burns in me because, you know, I have an uncle and I've brought him up before. He didn't take a fucking dime from the goddamn vets, okay? Agent Orange killed him several years ago. And he was presented with the paperwork to get on the class action suit for all the vets that were involved with that Agent Orange because, you know, he didn't want a goddamn dime. That man walked into work and within 5 minutes walking to work, dropped to his knees and went in complete organ failure and died 3 days later. But never collected a fucking dime because he was angry because he went to Vietnam. He was fucking Marine. He was in the middle of all that Agent Orange, and back when he came home, when he should have been set up with all the things he needed, he got the big fuck you. So, in the end, he didn't want nothing. Now, that breaks my heart. It does. It's a goddamn shame. And it's bullshit.
That's always burned me.
We've got all these vets now that are coming back from Iraq, Iran, that when they burnt all the oil fields and stuff, you know, they're having problems because of that. They have fire department people that were involved with 9/11, and because of all the smoke inhalation and the debris and everything else, they're dying of all kinds of shit. And nobody is paying attention. No one. And I don't understand this. These people put their lives on the line for the layman's people, okay? The common folks. And the common folks are not rallying and supporting their fucking vets and their fire department and ambulance drivers and everybody else that does that type of fucking work. And you know something? That burns in me. I don't know how many times I can say it, but it's just, it's messed up. And to think that we're one of the most powerful nations and we don't let our children starve and we provide housing for the fucking poor, but we leave our vets on the fucking street.
Yep.
There's a big problem. Big fucking problem.
So cops can sit there and say, oh, just another effing homeless person.
Yeah. Burns in me like nobody's fucking business.
Mhm. I know.
So, Phil, on that note, got any input?
No. I just sent you guys things to look at, but no. And you're gonna have to hold on to the rest of it till Tuesday because I got an early date tomorrow.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Go ahead.
Before you say good night for the evening, there's something I would like to say. And my friend's niece just started a tour in California yesterday, and she's going to a couple of states. And I've got her link posted up on my page for anybody that's on my Facebook. And her name is Hasley, spelled H-A-L-S-E-Y. And she's got a pretty cool track that I've also posted on my page. And help this girl get a flying start and, check out her webpage and check out her music. And if you like it, you know, buy it and download it because it's pretty cool stuff.
Awesome. I'll get over on that link.
make sure I get some copies.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll see you guys Tuesday.
Okay. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Bye.
All right. I'm going to let Charlie Baker take us out with a little ride. See you guys later.
Okay. Bye. Good night.